KSLSports.com here, Trevor Allen, catching up with University of Utah wide receiver, former wideout for the Utes, Batman, as they all call him, a fan favorite, Kenneth Scott, joining us here. Of what I wanted to do, I wanted to talk about the wide receivers for the University of Utah dropping the ball in the first three games. I mean, 12 drops from what people are saying out on Twitter. I know that Josh Furlong from KSL.com went back and watched all three games. 12 drops between the wide receivers, 5 against Washington. And so we're going to talk to a guy who caught a lot of passes at the University of Utah, and Kenneth Scott. Okay, Scott, how are you, man?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. All right, why don't we get straight to it? Obviously, I just mentioned right up at the top, 12 drops, you know, according to people watching the game going back. But, I mean, they're not really keeping a stat for drops except for the coaches and media and so forth. But 12 drops through the first three games. Did this surprise you, seeing that number coming out for this University of Utah team?
Well, I mean, drops are a part of the game. You know, I try to tell everybody, drops is a part of the game. If you watch any football game, there's going to be drops. The difference is the scenarios, the situations. You know, you don't want drops to happen in clutch moments where you need to make that catch. And I think that's what we're suffering from. It's those clutch moments where you want to make them to make the, that clutch catch to either move the chains, to keep the drive going, to keep the momentum. That's what they're not capitalizing on. And so that makes it more amplified as far as, you know, man, these drops are killing us, you know, because they're drive killers and momentum shifters. So as far as drops being made, you know, as a game of football, it's always going to happen. Even on the NFL level, drops are going to be made. But it's just when they're being made, that's the thing. And so I think that's the big, you know, part of, you know, it being so amplified and people, you know, talking about it.
So now, I kind of just want to dig deep into this and find out exactly what the problem is. So whenever somebody drops it, I mean, it could be a bunch of different things. It could be a bad pass. It could be bobbled, you know, not, you know, a spiral. The guy wasn't ready. There actually could be a lot of things. As you're watching the games and I've seen these drops, and I kind of want to, you know, focus a little bit more on the loss to Washington where guys were dropping them or, you know, fumbling the ball even to the point. So they already caught it, but then end up losing the ball. What is really causing it? If you were just to pinpoint and say, oh yeah, it's definitely this, and you know, to go back and to be able to fix it, what exactly is it?
To me, I just see a lack of confidence in themselves. You know, I think they're, you know, they got potential. I think it's just a lack of confidence in themselves. You know what I mean? And they're not really focusing all the way in on the things, you know, putting too much pressure on themselves to make it even a play. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just a lack of confidence at times. I see them with their head down a lot. And so I just want them to have that swagger, you know, they had in the beginning, like when they was going through the camps and stuff and people ramping and raving about it, you know, making those types of plays because those are more natural. Get back to it being natural instead of, oh, man, I got to catch it. It's more pressure and it's not natural as if it was in practice and things like that. And that's the reason why you practice to make things like that natural. So with me, you know, looking at them, I see they're trying too hard. You know what I'm saying? Let it come natural. You practice. You've been catching the ball since you were in Little League, you know what I mean? And it's a very natural thing. And so I think it's just they're trying too hard, you know what I mean? Just let it come to you. Let it be natural. You know, look the ball all the way in and then run, you know what I mean? So it's just the little things that they just got to, you know, counter up on and get their confidence back.
Do you feel like that maybe the confidence has been going down as we've gone from game one to game two to game three? Because it seems like it's gotten a little bit worse. And then, you know, as you end up seeing a drop there, it seems like it's kind of spread throughout the whole core and not just one guy. Because normally, if, you know, a guy is struggling catching the ball, they'll end up just switching out guys. But it seems like there's more and more guys who are getting drops in games.
Yeah, I mean, we say it a lot all the time, you know, drops are like contagious in a way, you know. But if you think about it, you know, in basketball, you know, the more opportunities you get, the more comfortable you become in whatever you do. And I think, you know, with our system, you know, you can run 30,000 routes and not get the ball your way, but when that fourth quarter comes, you're expected to make that catch. And when you haven't even seen the way the ball came your way, seen the way the ball, the lights hit the ball, no nothing. You just expected to catch it, and you cold, you ain't got nothing. So, you know, it's just, how can I explain it? It's a thing to where you just got to, you know, just try to be ready whenever you get the opportunity. I know, you know, within the system you don't get that many opportunities, so you got to make sure that you get the opportunity. But yeah, man, you just got to make sure you're prepared and things like that, so when it happens, when the ball does come your way, you just grab it and take control of it.
You know, fans will often say, well, you know, if we end up putting you in their shoes, what would you do? And now, Kenneth Scott, I'm going to ask you, because you have been in their shoes up at the University of Utah. You spent a lot of years there. You were a captain. Now, you obviously are not perfect as much as we all want to say you are when you were at the University of Utah.
Right.
You did drop passes. What happened?
Right.
And what was going through your mind whenever you had a drop and maybe was going through a little bit of a slump?
Well, you know, when you're going through a slump, especially when you're dropping the pass, the first thing you want to do is get your mindset corrected. Because, man, if you keep thinking about it, oh, it's going to linger on. And not even just linger on to the next play, the next game, the next week. You know, it's really that bad. It's haunting because you're like, man, I don't want to make this mistake again. You know, it's pretty, you know, you get stuck in your head. And so you got to be have a short memory. But the thing, you know, that really helped me, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of the media people, the coaches always ramped and raved. You know, after practice, man, I go get on the jug machine, or, you know what I'm saying, or grab a coach. I mean, yeah, one of my coaches, like the assistant coaches, and work on little things. Grab a quarterback, you know, just so we can get comfortable and familiar with each other. You know, people see me all the time after practice, man, working hard, like working on extra stuff, you know. So I think, you know, once they do that, you know, just putting the extra work, you know, I mean, after practice to make sure things like that in the slumps, the time frame of the slump can minimize and make them more productive and efficient. You know, if they just keep on after practice getting that extra work and putting that extra work in, the confidence will go back up and that slump will diminish. You know what I mean? So, but if it's in a game, you know, go on the sideline. Go on the sideline. While you're on the sideline, man, have people throw you the ball the whole time until you back on offense, just to get your confidence back up so you can feel for the ball again. You know, things like that. And so that really helped me, if you know, to get my focus back right. You know what I mean? So just that little thing, going on the sideline, getting the quarterback to throw you the ball or someone else toss you the ball, just so you just won't be sitting down on the sideline. You know what I mean? So when that time does come, you can make that play.
Now, why don't we put on your captain hat for a minute. As your time as captain at the University of Utah, in media, we were only able to watch the last 20 minutes of practice, and a lot of the time it was special teams and, you know, things like that. And we're not in the film room when you guys are going through film. So we're not able to see really the leaders shining unless it's out on the field. And obviously, when you were capped, you've actually had teammates who were struggling with drops and things like that. What would you do to lift them back up and really just take that role of being a leader?
You know, first you got to let them know that you're there for them. You know, because when you're in that moment, you feel like you're alone, everybody hates you. And then as a leader, you know, you're supposed to pick them back up, you know, be like, man, it's over with. Keep your head up. You're still a great player. I recall it was the Washington State game, matter of fact. You know, we should have won that game. You know, there was a situation late in the game where one of our receivers, you know, happened to drop the ball. It was really crucial in the late in the game. And, you know, he's a great player. So I told him that, like, man, you're a great player, man. Brush that stuff off. We go next week, UCLA week. Man, the guy had a terrific game, mossed people in the end zone. And then, it's crazy enough, I had a bad game that game. You know, I dropped my first pass my way in that game. And then the same thing I said to him last week, he told me that week when I had a bad game. So, you know, it's just about being there for each other in those low moments so you could get picked back up. You know, that's what it's all about, showing that support, that, man, you're not in this alone, you know, so you can get that confidence back up if they do make a mistake. So that's what, as a leader, they should do, you know, let them know that they're there. If there's anything that they need help with as far as, man, staying at the practice with them, you know, little things like that. Ask them if there's anything personal that's shifting their focus, you know, things like that. And you can better get a dial in on the situation so you can, be a better service to them to help them get back on track.
I kind of want to just go broad as a player now, because Twitter is one of those things where you either really, really love it or you really, really hate it. And some days it's both. And something that I've actually noticed on Twitter is a lot of media types and just even fans in general are telling other people, other fans who are very critical of the University of Utah right now, because we all thought that they weren't going to struggle this much, especially on offense, you know, with having Tyler Huntley back, Zach Moss being there, the offensive line, four of the five starters. We could go through the whole thing all over again. But fans have been using social media to go after University of Utah players and really being critical, and even coaches. And I know, Kenneth Scott, you have not gone your whole career at the University of Utah without getting blasted on Twitter. What has been some of the interactions? You don't have to go about, like, you know, obviously you got to be a little bit careful on what you say, but how did that mess with your head, if at all, and what did you end up doing to handle that? Because unless you completely delete Twitter during the season, which I know some guys do, it's really hard to avoid.
Uh-huh. You know, when I was in my younger stages of my career, I took a lot of that stuff to heart. You know, when people, I remember one of the fans saying, "I wish you break both your legs again," or something like that. And then
wow.
I just thought about it, like, man, is it really that serious to where you would wish that upon a player like this? Like, you get what I'm saying? So at times, man, as I got older and mature, you know, I just put that by the wayside. I laughed at it, you know, because, like, you're not a bigger critic on me than I am to myself. You know what I'm saying? I want the best for myself, of course, you know. But every time I go out there, I try to do the best version of me. You're not going to be successful all the time. If you were successful all the time, you'd be the, you know, number one player ever. You know what I mean? So when things like that happen, man, I try to shy it away. I tried to shy it away, especially as I grew older, you know, and just realized, man, it's not that serious. You know, it's really not that serious. But for future players, man, just try to tune it out. You know what I mean? People only say that because it's the moment. And then, you know, they don't keep that same energy when other things happen, you know. So you just got to be mindful of those types of things. You know, it don't really last forever. It's just them speaking out of anger. I remember one of the times some guy, he said something. I actually had his wife in my class one time. And the rebuttal I came with, he said something. I was like, dang, I thought your wife would have been nicer. I thought you would have been nicer because your wife is an amazing lady. She's very nice. I know that she wouldn't be with a guy like that. And so it completely shut him up. And sometimes you just got to fight back with, you know, niceness, you know, kill him with kindness. And sometimes that kindness is, you can just totally ignore him. So that's the way I did it. I handled it.
I mean, geez, just to even think about just some of the tweets that I've even seen now, I mean, even back in your days. Okay, so to kind of close on this, I just want to say, and I know we all know the answer to this, but I want it to come from a player's mouth as they're listening to this. When going to Twitter to blast a player and being very rude and arrogant about it, does it do any good for that player?
No, it definitely does. It causes more harm than anything. Like, it doesn't do any good. It causes more harm for the fan that's tweeting it, because he's going to get the backlash of it.
Is it also any better if they're like, hey, man, tough game, you'll get it next time? I mean, you probably had fans do that with you as well, right?
Definitely. The words of encouragement, like I said earlier about the support, you know, that's when, you know, of course, people want to keep it real. You know, if you had a bad game, man, I know you had a bad game, but I know your potential. And, you know, just you can be real, but say something encouraging as well to let you know that it's not coming out of hate, that I hate you, or you're such a bad player. But I know you had a bad game, but listen, keep your head up and keep going. I know that you're a great player. You know, little things like that. Instead of like, man, you suck, man. You need to be on the bench and not play again. Instead of messages like that, you can be direct with them. Be like, man, I know that you had a bad game, but keep your head up, man. The future is bright for you. You know, little things like that is way better than the usual, oh, you suck, I hate you, and things like that.
So anyone out there, college football fans who take jabs at Twitter, you've now heard it from a guy who's played college football. Just stop, okay? Stop being rude and getting in their heads. All right, Kenneth Scott, one last question. Now that we're looking ahead to Washington State coming up, who do you expect to step up besides Britton Covey?
You know, I really want COC or Damari. It'll be awesome to have both. The reason why I said it is because they're the veterans. They're the more of the veterans of the group. They've been in the system. You know, they've been in the program, familiar faces. You know, so I really want them to and plus they have big expectations coming in this year as well. And I think they're both great players. You know, I think they're both good players. And I just want them to be the players that I know they are. You get what I'm saying? And come out and show the world that, you know, like they are the players that they say they are too, you know, and have that confidence. So those are the two guys that I really want to out of that shell. And it may seem like a slump right now, but I know that you know, as time gets rolling, they're going to come back, and it's going to be very, very prosperous for them in the future.
Were you feeling pain when you were seeing Covey taking shots against Washington?
Yeah, I definitely was. But you know what? That little guy, man, it don't matter what type of punishment you give him, that dude's going to stand back up. You know, he's a warrior, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's really, really good. All right, Kenneth, I really do appreciate you taking the time, breaking this down, and we'll see what happens with the University of Utah moving forward. But always great to catch up with you, man. Thanks.
Oh, man, thank you so much. I appreciate it.